these are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. And we also have KFARradio.com if you want to listen to us online. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Happy New Year. It's our first business day of 2024, my first radio show of 2024. So I'll do the first plug for Compos. Go buy something at Compos.
Yeah, start the new off right. Yeah.
So we got that out of the way.
You don't want to plug.
Oh, cars. There'll be more. There'll be more.
Do you want us to plug your business? Or?
Plug it with what?
The new and improved fur tannery.
Right.
So tell us about your fire, Al. We have Al Barrett and Craig Compo in the studio here, and we will be having
Jen Newhouse.
She'll be coming here soon.
Yeah, it was devastating. I left Friday night after work, a little after 5, maybe closer to 5:30, and had everything lined up at my door to go run up to the trap line the next morning and, check everything out like I do every Saturday morning, and stopped at the bank, went home, had a slice of pizza, and, my phone was buzzing off the hook. My son was telling me the shop is burning down.
Oh, boy.
And, put my boots on and coat, and I was coming down Hagelbarger Hill, and you could see it plain as day, the flames up there, and I was like, yep, that's my shop. And,
man.
And, I was gone from it like an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, and, completely ruined. There's nothing left. There's nothing salvageable but a wood stove and a vise.
It's a start.
Yeah.
I was picking up some food to go at Bobby's, and I was just leaving, and I'm on Cushman about to cross the bridge, and all of a sudden I hear sirens coming. I pulled over, and there's three fire trucks go by, and then I get a call from Tammy Wilson, said, hey, did you hear Al's place is on fire? I go, oh, no. And so I kind of follow in the fire trucks, and they turn left on Phillips Field there, and I go, oh, my God. So I went down there, and, it was bad. It was all totally engulfed in flames. But
yeah. I was getting texts from Craig, telling me about it, that he's following my fire department. And so the question was Al in it?
Yeah. And then I tried calling you, Al. I couldn't get through. Called the shop. I knew I wouldn't get through there, but I called your cell. Nothing. I'm thinking, oh no.
So once I knew you're okay, I texted you and I said, you didn't lose the dog, did you?
Nope.
Neil's okay.
Everybody's okay, There was nobody in there and all just, people's stuff and material stuff, all my stuff. Every day goes by, you go to do something or think about getting something. You're like, oh, damn, it was in the fire. It's gone.
Oh, yeah.
My wife asked me about camping or hunting gear, and I said, no, I don't keep much hunting gear down there. And she goes, I thought you had some tents. And I'm like, damn, I had my Arctic oven in there.
Oh,
I was like, that one hurt.
There you go. Goodness gracious.
So, obviously, you couldn't go in there the next day, right? They're doing investigations and stuff.
Right.
Because I went down there the next day, and same thing. I had a rope taped off or whatever.
Yeah, that tape works really
good. Yeah, that keeps them. So, you told me that the day after or 2 days after some...
Oh, we've had... ever since the fire was put out... the local meth heads have been in there getting the copper and the copper piping and the wiring and whatever else they can think they can sell.
Didn't they try and break into one of your Connexes?
Yeah, and so I had a Connex there with a lock on it, and we've seen, all the evidence of people being in there rooting around for stuff and, leaving pails of copper, so we knew it was going on. So I said, oh, a locked Connex? This is just inviting,
Yeah.
So I went and got a really good lock for the Connex. And I put it on there, and I put the other mediocre lock on there just for grins. And I came back the next day, and my lock was fine, but they took a chisel, and they chiseled the hasp on the Connex until it broke and cracked, and they got in there. And
it was obviously probably your chisel that they borrowed because, one of the few things left.
They're using copper pipe as the hammer.
Yeah, I don't know what they had, but it was substantial to break that or chop through that. And the only thing they took was my extra sled for my trap line that I needed now because my other one got burned up. And it was a person on a fat, tired bike pulling my sled.
It was on a person on somebody else's fat, tired bike.
I tracked him down to Sourdough gas station. I said, I'm not going to go any further. But, we ended up taking one of the vehicles that wasn't running and drug it over to the front of the Connex and then backed it and pushed it up against the door. So it's a lot more deal.
You had some theft in the last year or so there.
Oh, yeah. There's getting, this drug issue and homeless issue in town in the summertime is just crazy. And, it's an old building. It's not hard to find ways to get in it. But, the state troopers, I had a lot of friends over there and know the commander over there. And they've been periodically driving by, checking it out, chasing people out of there. So it's been real nice. The neighbor got robbed. His Connex got broke into and stolen too. And
is he blaming you?
No. Oh, no. No.
It's no, just, there's, it's, and it's good. You asked me to, you were busy as heck and asked me to contact Captain Spitzer, and he did, and they did some drive-bys at night. There's nothing worse than that. They hit you while you're down. I mean, my God, what, are they going to steal your canoe or something?
Well, that's what I had. I had the canoe out, and I was like, they don't really know a value of a canoe, but it's aluminum, and it's got value. It's just scrap metal. So.
Yeah.
That was one of the things we got in the Connex, put an air tag on it.
Yeah.
And, but that was too much. There was other things that were, could have been sold readily, but, that sled was far more important. An otter sled.
You think about putting any camera traps out there?
I had cameras, prior to the building burning.
They steal them?
No, what I mean is, on the Connex, putting them, hidden cameras.
Yeah. I had four cellular type cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're burned up.
Yeah.
They're everywhere in my shop.
And you haven't invested in another one.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's it's devastating, as you said. So in a word, that's it. You lose everything.
And
you can't, we were talking about this, if you decide to get back in this thing, you don't just go to Amazon to find some of these special pieces of equipment for Tanner.
So you have to, find a building. And there's requirements. I need, certain amount of floor drains. I need to, is it septic? If it's septic, does it have a steel or a plastic tank? What kind of water? What kind of volume of water I can have?
Yeah.
If I don't own it, and I'm renting it, the landlord's got to understand what I'm doing.
Yeah.
If you do it inside the city, they want to tax you. And
yes, we do.
Yes. So I try to avoid the city and taxation without representation.
Yeah. Tell me about it.
Oh, it's true.
Mary sighing, move in there.
Yeah. So yeah, it's one, you got to find the right property and the right owners.
Sure.
And then build from there. Try to find equipment. I built a lot of stuff before when I did it, but then I had welders and tools, and now I have nothing again.
Oh, so, all that's gone, yeah.
It makes it a little harder.
Maybe it's a way to make you streamline and just do the things that are most profitable.
Right.
Yeah, trying to go. Yeah.
And that's what I was doing. I mean, that's why I wasn't tanning a lot of fur. We were doing a lot of big animals, and you still need the equipment. You still need the space and the availability and stuff. So,
but you were probably starting to turn away some of the work that you couldn't handle, or because you're busy.
Were recommending another tannery. And there was another guy in town that stayed busy too. But there was opportunity.
Hmm.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
The Banks Ale House, the perfect place to go for an incredible burger, ice cold beer, and the game. If the hockey playoffs on the ice have you chilled, how about a hot Irish cream and coffee? Whatever sports you're into, the Banks Ale House has all your favorite food, from small bites to great lunch and dinner choices. Not to mention the 40 beers on tap while watching the game on one of the 24 screens. Brews, bites, and sports at the Banks Ale House, located on the Old Steets. And this week, you can get $50 gift certificates for half price. You heard that right. Half off $50 certificates.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
You know that the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center prides itself in having the best qualified, professional, and licensed audiologists in the state. They're proud to announce the addition of Dr. Alexandria Jackson to their team. Dr. Jackson hails from Texas and is passionate about helping patients with hearing and balance dysfunction challenges, and she specializes in diagnosis of both adult and pediatric patients. She joins the experts and medical professionals at the Fairbanks Hearing and Ballot Center, where they can help you with your hearing loss. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
KFAR weather.
Bright sunshine today with daytime highs approaching 7 below. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, lows dip down to about 15 below. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, highs around 1 above. High at 3 above Thursday under cloudy skies, 2 below Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Having us here with me, Al Baird and Craig Compo. Did either of you read today's paper?
I read online what was new in there.
Did you read the letters to the editor?
I did not.
Just the headline parts of them.
Dick Bishop had a very...
Yeah,
conservation.
Right.
And... brought in the caribou herds, but he is absolutely correct on how he classified everything.
Yes.
It's the hunters who started the conservation movement.
That was the preservationists, which they used to call themselves a long time ago.
Yeah.
That preservationist title wasn't working out so good for them, so they converted to being conservationist. And... so they kind of hijacked that from the hunters and put them in a little better light than being actually what they are as preservationists. So there's very few organizations that call themselves a conservation organist but are anti-hunting and trapping that are conservationists or preservationists. So, yeah, Dick's a really sharp guy, and I read that little part of it online, and I was like, I already knew where he was going, and we've had discussions like that before. So,
how are the caribou herds doing?
Caribou herds in Alaska. So, yes, we've had some really depressing numbers for caribou. Western Arctic caribou has been in decline for probably over 10 years now. It's like getting really down there under 200,000 caribou.
And it was up to...
Yeah, at one time here, 25 years ago, I think it was. It was, just about a half a million caribou were estimated being up there. So,
wolf predation, hunters?
It's probably more of a habitat issue. When you get up into those kind of numbers, it takes a lot of food.
Yeah.
And, so there was some of that. I mean, other people, want to blame. And it might be partly true, is there's some climate differences going on up there and climate change. So, but, it's habitat. It's food.
Well,
it's
food-related. Also, when you get up to a half a million animals, you could never make a liberal enough hunting law to affect the slow, in other words, take the, thin the herd.
Yeah, I evaluated that herd when I used to be on the Western Arctic Caribou Working Group, and I'm still involved with watching that stuff, but at 250,000 caribou, to try to stabilize that population in that area would be near impossible, because you don't get the number of hunters that you need to harvest that many caribou. and, you know, throw in that a lot of the land's federally controlled by the Federal Subsistence Board, so they eliminate people that could be hunting those caribou.
Ready for a phone call?
Yep.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name's Bill. I recently came across a map that showed the ratio between humans and squirrels, and Alaska is in the highest category of that human-squirrel ratio. So I'm wondering if what your guests are trying to do about that. And the other question was, south of town in Unit 20A, I believe it is, they had, as I understand it from talking to locals, there's very few moose out there. But they had a couple pretty good fires in between the Wood River and Ferry about 15 or 20 years ago. And my understanding is that's about when you have the best browse for moose. And apparently they haven't recovered in there. Also, there's a small caribou herd. I think they call it the Perry caribou herd. What's the story on that? I'll hang up and listen to what interests you.
Let's go to the squirrels first.
Let's go to squirrels. I don't have an answer for the squirrels.
Wayne would be our squirrel expert.
because he's losing his war up with the squirrels.
We don't manage for high human harvest on squirrels, so they're not a super priority with groups or the Department of Fish and Game, but they are monitored. They do watch. And
do they have a cycle like rabbits?
They do cycle in areas. It seems like right now there seems to be a lot more squirrels on the trap line again, so they're coming up from other pastimes. Moose and 20A, I haven't seen the results. I think it's a little mixture out there, but yes, they were in decline or have been in decline. And as far as fires go, generally, your statement is true that once a fire goes through, the browse, you know, come back and they're good. But it all depends on the fire. If you have a really hot fire and it sterilizes the ground,
like yours,
yeah, it gets very hard for the sedges and the grasses and the willows to start growing back because there's no nutrients left in the ground. It got all burned up. So that could take, you know, 10 to 20 years to recoup. If it was a treetop fire where the fire just clipped along the trees are the best fires because that habitat comes back really quickly.
And thicker.
And as far as the caribou in 28, a Delta herd, they're just pretty much stable. They've been taken off they lost their positive finding for intensive management, which was meant for high human consumption. So it's just to maintain and watch, and they issue in the neighborhood of 200 drawing permits a year, and about just under 75 caribou get harvested a year. So, it's just watch and maintain for the caribou herd out there. I think I answered all those questions.
Yeah. You did really good. you're on fire, man.
Yeah, no pun intended.
Yeah. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Jennifer, what's on your mind today?
I'm late. It's compost fault.
Oh, it's got to be. When is Problem Corner ever at noon?
you just told me to come down.
Did I say noon? I probably did. Yeah, 11.
Boy.
Anyway.
So the caribou herds, you know, we talked about.
Oh, yeah, caribou. So, yeah, the Western Arctic caribou herd is down, and there's some proposals addressing that. Though the Central Arctic caribou herd, the Tushaputt caribou herd, and the Porcupine caribou herd, which are all North Slope type caribou, are all doing really well. The Central Arctic caribou herd's growing, getting back up into the numbers that we've seen before, and the Porcupine herd is well over 300,000. It's probably near its top as it ever has been. And then we drop down to 40 mile. 40 miles low, but that was a purpose of management to reduce that population to get them in, you know, to make the caribou healthier. So they start having, you know, twinning, or not twinning rates, but calving rates are going to be really high and survival will be good. So there was a reason that we lowered that population and still are lowering that population to get.
So it doesn't crash.
Yeah, so it doesn't crash. Well, they're going to crash, but do you want to use them and put them in people's freezers, or you just want to watch them die in the tundra?
Yeah.
And nobody gets to use them. So that's why right now the department's being very cautious and they think they're at the number they can stabilize the herd at. So
I got a question. It brought up when you said the northern herds are doing better. Is it a habitat issue? Is it a temperature issue? Do we know why
those herds? I mean, the late Patrick Valkenburg, you know, studied caribou for eons, and they're very difficult to understand why they crash when they do, and you know, when they stop and start rebuilding.
How's Canada's herds?
They do the same thing. They build up and they crash, and it takes a long time. The Central Arctic caribou herd, for whatever reason, crashed. Got down to 12,000 animals, but just lickety-split, got right back up to 38,000 again. So, And then Nelchina, which was a real stable population for a long time, and I liked it because we used to, and we tried to harvest all the harvestable surplus that we could have and still provide 2% growth. And because we had the people, the road system, and the hunters that could do that, and it worked for a really long time, and then something happened there. So we don't know if it's predation, habitat issue yet. We'll hear more about that this board cycle. And then the Malchatna caribou herd, which is really popular. I just seen a report. I kind of skim read it and did some things, but we're seeing some positive results from killing those 100 bears and wolves, or combination of bears and wolves out there.
Predators.
It was almost a 3-time survival rate on newborn calves with that predator removal. And, you know, but I got to study it more. I was just kind of skimming it, and I had, you know, some other things occupying my time the last week or so.
Oh, really?
So, but it looks like we're starting to see some recovery on the Malchatna caribou herd. So, but it'll take a while.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are the latest numbers on that little Shoshana herd? Are we ever going to get more than a harvestable surplus of 6 out of that?
Yeah, I haven't looked at that herd lately, but I haven't heard anything positive about it. I think it's more stabilized yet. And that's where the department has kind of relinquished some of their authority to harvest at it for state. We're all state residents, but the federal government, the Federal Subsistence Board, has been allowing federally qualified people to take those caribou because it's mainly federal land out there, and it's a real limited population. So it's kind of a complicated thing to get in 1 half-hour radio program, but
the whole area is overrun with bears, and we just can't incentivize them enough. People just don't want to go in there and take one.
Right. And the other unique thing about Shoshana is, you know, the board of game authorized the harvest of white-tailed deer and mule deer, and you're allowed to no close season, no limit. And ever since that season's been open, there's not been one harvested yet. But there's a lot of documentation prior to that.
Wow.
What do you think a good incentive would be?
Well, when I say incentivize, you know, the board's removed the obstacles. So in several areas for a long time, it was one brown bear every 4 years with a special tag. So they made it one a year. Then they said, you don't have to have the drawing. Then they, you know,
you took away the
please go take a bear.
And I like the skull derby idea. You know, total inches of skull that you can go get out of bears in a year, and you get a, you know, 4 barrels of fuel or something like that, you know. I kind of like that idea, but we'll see what happens.
Well, time will tell, and at least they're looking at the problem, and they're addressing it. So just one of those fun things.
Did we talk about the ATA meeting yet tonight?
We're going to talk about that when we come back from our commercial break in Fairbanks. We're going to take a commercial break here. Obviously, Melissa is working the board because we have some scorpions rock me like a hurricane instead of some dim-witted stuff that Glenner would put on.
Was that from the Rock Me? Is that Everly Brothers?
That's the Scorpions. That's the Scorpions. And then we're going to have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials. I don't see any compo.
Oh, yeah, they'll be there.
Okay.
They'll be ad lib.
Okay. And we'll be back after
the Right on the River, Right on the Price.
There you go.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
At Harvard University, Dr. Claudine Gay has just submitted her letter of resignation. This after multiple accusations of plagiarism. In the letter, she writes that this is not a decision that she came to easily. Dr. Gay, of course, thrust into the spotlight during a recent congressional hearing about free speech on college campuses following the October 7th Hamas attack on Israel and a number of anti-Semitic and Islamophobic incidents on campuses all around the country. Now, Dr. Gay got into it during those congressional hearings with New York Representative Elise Stefanik, who called the resignation, quote, long overdue. Plane collision in Tokyo, 5 people dead.
I was shocked. You never know what will happen. There was an earthquake yesterday, too. Once I got here, there's the fire. You just never know.
This happened when a Japanese Coast Guard aircraft collided on the runway at Tokyo's Haneda Airport. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports that new Alaska alcohol laws went into effect on New Year's Day, creating what some say will be a more level playing field between bars and brewery tasting rooms. The new laws going into effect were part of Senate Bill 9, which was passed in 2022 and intended to end the so-called bar wars, or the alcohol industry's internal conflict between bars and breweries over how state laws were putting one side at a competitive disadvantage. Also part of the new state law is a provision that puts new limits on the number of new tap rooms that can operate in a town or a city intended to address public safety and alcohol abuse. Odd Man Rush Brewing owner Reed McDonald said part of his frustration is that tap rooms, the space in which a brewery serves its beer to customers, still cannot have TVs or stools at the bar. In addition, breweries must limit customers' consumption to 3 12-ounce beers per person. Under the new regulations, tap rooms can now hold a limited number of live events each year and stay open until 9 p.m. rather than 8 p.m.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
So exactly what is the UroLift procedure? Here's Dr. David Sharp from Fairbanks Urology.
The nice part about a UroLift is it's a quicker recovery, minimally invasive, done in the office. Not everybody's a candidate. Not everybody's going to respond well to a UroLift. So it's important to get an evaluation to see if your size prostate and the anatomy of your prostate would be appropriate for a UroLift. And if so, it might be the right option for you.
Find out if you're a candidate for a UroLift at Fairbanks Urology, corner of Cushman and Gaffney.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. And, you know, Jennifer and Al, sometimes it's pretty interesting listening to Craig Compa during a break.
No kidding.
Fairbanks, you know, this is what we get combat pay for usually, but this
hazard pay.
Hazard pay.
This where the walls are padded?
My purple room.
I'm used to padded walls.
Welcome to my purple room. Yeah. Management puts me in a purple room with speckles on it.
It looks like it's got glitter in it, like those old ceilings from
that's
the
why 60s. Tinker feels so at home here.
Yeah.
His wife's got the purple hair with sparkles and stuff.
You know, I call it a hostile workplace myself, but what the heck.
Yeah.
So, Craig?
I was going to go to Jen for the ATA meeting
stuff.
First.
Let's hear about the ATA meeting tonight, Jen.
Alaska Trappers Association meeting at the Dog Mushers Hall. Get there at 6:30 and bring $5, contribute to the kitty. They'll make a real good meal for us. It's kid-friendly. They got a cooler, a pop, water, some other stuff. And we're going to listen to a biologist talk about a radio telemetry rabbit project. Not sure what he's going to say. This is your bunny hugger meeting if you want to go to the Trappers Association and you haven't been before. Members and non-members are welcome. They do a little drawing while you're there. They've got some good swag. It's actually a good time. We pack the Dog Mushers Hall and, you know, tell two friends. I've been telling as many people as I know. We've had about 80 people there on some nights.
So let me get this straight. You have a biologist who's talking about radio telepathy.
Telemetry.
Telemetry with rabbits.
Yeah.
Is it rabbits or hares?
The hair-raising experience, sounds like.
So they should be snowshoe hares, but I think the announcement said rabbits.
What sort of drugs is this guy on?
What?
What sort of drugs is this guy on?
I don't know. But Al's got the latest on Fox News.
Yeah, what is the latest on
the
Fox
latest
News?
On Fox News? The fox population is doing really well in Fairbanks.
See, there's your new career. You could be a Fox News analyst.
Well, I seen that. I thought it's really, the last couple of years we've been talking about rabbits on the West Coast, you know, like Kotzebue Butte and Nome, there's actually rabbits and not hares. And so that population has been declining for the last 10 years. And then from historical traditional knowledge, you know, that used to be they were, you know, burdened with them. They were like, you know, kind of a
rabbits.
Nuisance.
What's
that
the difference between a rabbit and a hare?
One's born with hair and the other one's not.
Mm. Bigger feet.
One tastes more like chicken.
So that's why I was curious, because it would have made more sense to me that somebody was actually tracking rabbits instead of the hares. I mean, we have a lot of information on hares, and it's I think it's a grad student that's doing it.
It is, yes.
Yeah. Okay. And so it's part of his learning.
But they do a real good job of getting speakers each time. Last time we were there, we had Marty Mayrotto and Jim Masick talking about different trapping styles. It's a place that's welcoming to folks who are new, who want to learn more about it. If you haven't trapped before and you want to learn how to do it, there's a lot of resources there. The same group put on 2 winters ago, we had a women's trapping summit, and I was really excited that more than half of our participants in that, we had about 70 ladies participate, Al. More than half were under 35 and wanted to learn. You know, states like California who've banned trapping, they still do it, but now you have to get an exterminator to come and do it for you because you can't do it yourself. So it was just at the big convention, National Assembly of Sportsmen's Caucuses through Congressional Sportsmen's Foundation, and the head of both the trappers' organizations was there, Jason Wisniewski with the Fur Takers, and John Daniels with the American Trappers Association, and he was getting phone calls from people in California looking for referrals because they're not allowed to trap, but they had nuisance animals causing property destruction. You know, beavers do a lot of destruction to farms and cattle ranches and things like that, and besides just, you know, people's homes. But it's been interesting to see some of the new folks just want to learn, want to make a nice scarf themselves. A lot of ladies get into it by taking the fur sewing class first.
Mm. Ready for a phone call?
Do it.
Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is? We lost him. Just missed him, I guess.
Yeah. He'll call back. Well, hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about something, if we got time, and you can interrupt me if you get a phone call. But
Here we go.
Okay.
Good morning, you're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hi, my name is Mike. I believe I heard Al say something about rabbits. In Kotzebue?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Could he expand on that? That was unfamiliar to me.
Oh.
Hang up and listen.
Thank you.
They people call them jackrabbits out there. They're a very large Arctic rabbit, is my understanding. And I just thought it was out there, you know, from Bethel all the way up to Kotzebue area. So I don't know what Mike's going for. Or did I have the wrong terminology, Mike?
Well, anyway, Craig, you were going to go into?
Yeah, I was just going to say, so anybody that's listened to this show or any other shows probably figured out Al knows a little bit about game populations, about laws, state law, federal stuff. And obviously it's because this guy's probably got more man hours, volunteer hours on board a game, ACs, every single meeting there is to do a wildlife, hunting, fishing, harvesting, Al's there. So in that vein, you know, we've all known that in our group, our laundry house gang, that Al's a valued resource. And here a guy loses his whole place, devastating as one word he used, which it is. So we're going to help him, and we want the entire community to get out and help him. And Al isn't the kind of guy that's going to put his hand out and ask for any help. But, you know, obviously there's a lot of need. You got to figure out what you're going to do. You got to find a place. We talked with Dave about that. You know, you got equipment that, like I said, you don't just find on Amazon. And if you did, it wouldn't be free shipping, even if you're a Prime member.
Yeah, you don't know that for sure.
No. Yeah. But anyway, so we're going to have a big fundraiser. I'm going to offer up compos right on the river, right on the price, to 4122 Boat Street. We're going to have a fire sale. Not a fire sale. I'm sorry. That slipped out. Freudian slipped there. We're going to have a fundraiser for Albert. We're going to try and get some generous folks in Fairbanks to donate some items of $500 or more, auction items, with the help of Jen and the ATA, AOC. We're going to try and put them online ahead of time. We're working the details of that out now. Tentatively, it's going to be the Sunday before President's Day, which would be the 18th of February. So anybody that's listening, please put that in your phone, February 18th. It'll be in the afternoon. Like probably around 3 or 4 to 7, somewhere in there. We're going to have a bunch of auction items. We're going to have a beast feast. We're going to have a bunch of people bring their favorite wildlife dish, whether it be moose chili, Moosgetti, Virgil. You've tried his plate, trays of samplers are great, sausage and so forth. So we're going to encourage everybody that can to attend this thing. We're going to try to have a Park Service dunk tank. That's
a dudgeon.
Park Service dunk tank where you can throw the ball. We did this years ago and it was a hit, and try to soak a guy that's dressed up in a Park Service outfit. We might even have Joe Biden come by, so that's just a possibility.
Jill, she'll remember it.
Jill. Anyway, so we're going to try and do that on the 18th of February. But if anybody has got something that they're not using anymore of value that they want to donate to the cause and help Al get his plans going again, whatever he wants, we will have a lot of fun. It's going to be great. We have a limited amount of space there, but we'll feed as many people as we can. And again, it's not just about the food; it's about the cause. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So
and we're looking for some high end items for people to win. You said 500, but that was the lowest marker when we got together to organize things. You're looking for 1,000
and 2,500. Yeah, and we're donating a used snow machine, an older used snow machine, and I know there's other people donating furs. And the other thing that you can do now, just so people know that are listening, you can donate. There's a donate button on the AOC, AlaskaOutdoorCouncil.org website. So you can go there and donate 20, 50, 100,000, whatever you want to do.
And you can get your tax ID receipt there.
Yeah, and you'll be able to get a tax ID receipt for the items you donate. We'll have a place you can call Craig at Compos or email Craig at Compos, and we can tell you where to take the stuff. So anyway, we want to see Fairbanks turn out with a real generous. We're all generous. Fairbanks is generous anyway, but this is a great cause, and we're going to have a great time, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be February 18th.
And this is what we do as Fairbanksons. That's one of the things that made me fall in love with Fairbanks when I moved up here to run a house race for one of our good friends in 2002. You know, you'd meet people a couple of times. They're inviting you to their house for Thanksgiving. It's 30 below, and you've got to be nice to your neighbors because you're not sure when you might need them. And right now, we've got nowhere to take our goods to get tanned here in the interior.
Right, yeah.
Which is why you started the thing to begin with.
Right, right.
Fairbanks, we're going to be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's going to start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage. The power lines, cars, and homes, specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
It's time for the 2024 Fairbanks Bunny Festival. Friday and Saturday night, January 12th and 13th at the Pioneer Park Theater, featuring the hilarious Lachlan Patterson, along with a group of locals doing stand-up for the very first time. Or catch Lachlan's preview show Thursday the 11th at the Spur. All shows are at 7 o'clock. Week 2, we bring you one night of the world-famous Sklar Brothers. These shows always sell out, so get your tickets now at aktickets.com. The Fairbanks Bunny Festival, brought to you by Good Cannabis, Zach's at Sophie's Station Hotel, and the radio station.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Clear skies today with highs around 7 below. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 15 below. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs level off around 1 above. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have members of the Laundry House Gang here with me today. It's the first Tuesday of the month, first Tuesday of the year, first working day of the year.
Time to buy your licenses.
It's time to buy your license.
If you're not an old guy,
you're not a geezer, yeah. A weezer, like myself and you.
That's all. I can't hear you. Speak up. Excuse me. I gotta go. I just soiled myself.
You can still buy a license. We're all winners when you contribute to conservation crews.
Yes. We were talking about that on the break. My idea was to still collect voluntary. You can fill it out as a senior, where you pay your normal fee. And then at the end of the year, they draw one name for those people that actually still help the cause, and you get 10 grand or 20 grand or something like that. You have to do the math. I don't know how many. Do you know, Al, how many people get the free senior ticket?
It seems like when we went through the licensing bill, and Representative Dave Tallarico at the time wanted to raise the age limit to purchase a license to 18. It seems to me the number 3,700 came up, that 3,700 people would be coming into the system at 18 years old to buy a license, and about the equal amount were going out because of 65. So it seems like there's about 3,000-ish.
The problem is you're not getting as many new hunters as you are retiring hunters, right?
Well, it wasn't true at that time, but that's been...
The hunting license costs what? I have forgotten.
Yeah, I got it.
Buy your hunt, fish, trap. It's about $65.
Yeah.
Make sure that you record the trap as well. You can get some benefits to that even if you're not a regular trapper, but it also shows folks that we're out there and that trapping is a useful conservation tool that is being eroded in state by state around the nation right now.
But it would be about $150,000 a year in income then. If you just figure $40 a head, $3,700, that's $150,000. So maybe you do $3,000 or $5,000, $10,000 tickets at the end of the year, and the rest of it goes in the.
I went sheep hunting this year and didn't have to buy any tags. It's, free tag. Is there any tags that a resident has to buy if they go hunting?
Yes, the brown bear on the coast. So basically, and muskox. Most muskox hunts are, you have to buy the locking tag.
And how much are those?
$25 for the grizzly bear tag, and
used to be $100.
$500 for the
muskox.
Okay, where it hasn't.
Laundry House Gang. Next meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
Where is it at?
TVSA at high noon.
And who's going to be your speaker?
We don't.
We don't have
one.
I thought we had something. Anyways. Speaking of conservation, I was at a meeting.
Well, is
here.
Tomorrow's meeting moved to 1?
Oh, yeah, I think it is 1 for people who want to attend. Yeah, it's none.
For a person who wants to attend.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Somebody said 1:30, but I think it's 1. Yeah, 1 o'clock. Of course, it was 12 here today. So
I know.
So tomorrow for you Laundry House Gang members, it's tomorrow at 1 at TVSA.
Yep, they always keep me out of the loop.
That's the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association building, for those who aren't familiar, right across from Fred Meyer's by the coffee cart.
Before you get to Compos.
Right on the river, right on the price.
Doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president. We could just keep doing this till the end of the show.
We always do, Craig. Anyway.
But I had an update a couple weeks ago, probably 3 weeks ago now. We did have another wood bison reintroduction planning team meeting. This was for the Yukon Flats.
You didn't invite me.
It's online.
It's not up for me to invite people. But I did make a big moose and gravy and mushroom and rice dinner for everybody. Ooh. Turned out excellent.
Was it over at the Oh, place off of?
Yeah, Westmark. It was at the Westmark.
Oh, Westmark this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it was a really good meeting. It was very productive. There was a lot of agreement and a lot of consensus there. And it looks like we're moving forward to start putting bison out there around 2018.
Oh, good.
And it
2018?
Looks...
2018?
Right, because we have...
2018. Hindsight.
Oh. 2028. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jen, for, you know, I caught it, you caught it, Craig caught it, I said it, he didn't get it.
No.
And Jen just sort of smacked you. Thank you.
Yeah. That's just seems far. Anyways, and then we move forward a little bit on, we're going to have a meeting here fairly quickly for Mento, kind of finalizing that. It looks like we will be putting bison in the Mento Flats area. Maybe towards the mouth of the Kentishna. It's kind of one of the areas that I know is being looked at. And that will probably move forward this spring sometime.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
So,
how's your trapping going?
Going slow. I'm going to start getting in the groove of it again here. And otherwise, it's been doing pretty good. There's a lot of marten overall statewide. A lot of people are doing really well.
How are the prices?
They're not right on the river.
You know, one thing.
So they're hot.
That's you know, until we actually have these auctions. There was a little bright light with the Russian sale, but you got to take that with a grain of salt. And you know, everybody's predicting an increase. Sometimes you got to figure, you know, what inflation does. You know, you might see an increase, but if the rate of inflation is the same, you didn't make any more money.
Well,
the cost of doing business.
Well, I learned in the lower 48. Last month, when I was back for Congressional Sportsman's Foundation, we had these excursion days, and of course I went with the trappers, and the prices of beaver are rising because they're attributing it to the popularity of Yellowstone and the cowboy hats. I didn't realize that the better cowboy hats are made out of beaver felt. Because it's waterproof and the rest of this, and I had no idea, so I got a whole lesson on that, and so hopefully some of our interior trappers will be keep those in your freezer till the price goes up a little bit more. I know James and Lori Gibb have been going gangbusters. Their Facebook page, they're catching a lot.
So basically, we need something like a Game of Thrones wearing grizzly bear pelts to get those things popular. So what more people take grizzly bears.
What are the odds that Hollywood helps the cause? That,
well, it's Kevin Costner, so.
Yeah, that's true.
And Taylor Sheridan.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to trapping, people don't trap to make a living. They maybe get some residual income out of it, but this is not their go-to. There's usually...
It's not as popular as it was, but there are full-time trappers in the state.
Okay.
They're just not as few. And then there's, you know, it's true, most people are doing it as recreation, and you know, I supplement my income with it. I don't do it, but I don't try to
probably
break,
more now than
I don't
ever.
Try to break even on it neither. So if it starts costing me a lot of money and I'm not making it, I'm
you know, Craig, you're on a roll today. You know, first day of the year, bam.
But yeah.
So you don't make a whole lot of money on it. You just try not to lose money on it.
I always make money on it. If I start losing, then I'm stopping.
Okay.
So
what does a Martin go for?
Right now it's looking like $60, $65 average. But again, everybody's speculating till the first auction starts here. I think the last receiving date's in mid-January.
Where are the auctions at?
You know, unfortunately, we really only have one auction house in North America right now, and that's Fur Harvesters. And, you know, the other three that when I started, there was three other ones that you could use, and they've all closed up since. And so that's in Ottawa, Ontario, right off the top of my head. But, yeah, they're doing it.
Jennifer, any Safari Club International news coming up?
Well, they're having their banquet the same time that AOC is having their banquet on February 24th down in Anchorage. That'll be a big one, usually 1,000 people there, so get your tickets now. Got some info coming out in some of their newsletters, same with Alaska Outdoor Council, Outdoor Heritage Foundation. If you get you guys that have your free licenses, if you wanted to be a winner and contribute to conservation, you could donate the cost of what your license would have cost you to the Alaska Outdoor Heritage Foundation. We are the 501c3 component for the department, so we fund some of the projects. Not a lot of people understand that the North American model of wildlife conservation provides for a user fee system, and that that's what pays for the operation of the departments. And you may or may not love some of the decisions that the department always makes, but if they don't have the funds to get all of the callers for the caribou study, they don't know how many caribou are there sometimes. They don't have the, if you can't hire the biologists to do the things to count the animals and find out what's going on, then the seasons for harvest aren't as liberal.
Craig, it's January. What would you recommend for an outdoor experience, extravaganza, hunting or fishing, or is it getting out?
You got to try this new Widescape stand-up snow machine we got at our place. Yeah, $7.95 down.
And go up the compo trail.
Go up the compo trail. See how that works.
Now, what was that? You rode that to Laundry House Gang last week. It didn't really look like the big timber sled like Paul's got built for us.
No, it's a 40. It's a 40-mile-an-hour, 20-horse, 250, four-stroke, EFI stand-up snow machine. It's got a 12-inch wide track and a big wide UHM. It looks like an alpine ski in the front of it, a big wide ski.
So it's like a winter Segway?
Yeah, it's just made for, kind of like a winter Segway, a little faster.
Vespa,
yeah. Anyway, it was funny because Captain
Spitzer
was over at the, I drove it down to the TVSA, and he's all uniformed up, and at the end of the meeting, he goes, hey, I really want to try one of those. I said, well, anytime, come on down, take it out. You can try it out. We got a demo. He goes, no, I want to try it now. So he hopped on it with his hat, his vest, and his camera and everything on. He gets on it, and he goes around TVSA and threw a foot and a half of snow a couple times, and he goes, man, I love this.
So when you have the event on the 18th, there's probably going to be an opportunity for people to test some demos while they're there. That'd be another draw.
Depends if we have a bar or not.
Ah. Well, Craig, what besides buying something from you, what's your outdoor recommendation?
Oh, that. it's warm for this time of year. It's a good time to get out. We don't have as much daylight as we're going to have. But, people haven't been on the Compo Trail. It's a nice trail. It's not, the thing about that trail, it's nice. It's not a crotch rock at 100-mile-an-hour trail. It winds through the woods. Yeah, there's not long straightaways, so it kind of keeps the younger crowd off the trail. It's just a nice place. There's beautiful views. It's on the way to Chena Hot Springs, and I just spent New Year's out at Chena Hot Springs with Bernie Carl and gang. Thank you, Bernie. He always puts on such a great New Year's party and dinner, and him and his wife, Moon, are wonderful. So anyway, Chena Hot Springs and the Compo Trail. How's that?
Jen, what's your recommendation?
I like ice fishing. So, there's different places around town. You can get an auger. You can borrow one from a friend. I think Chena Tool Library has one. But the thing is, if you're going to go out and get one of the ones that DNR puts out on the lake, go on a Sunday because somebody will have already drilled the hole. And make sure it was rented on a Saturday. And then it's easier to drill your holes on Sunday. But they got little wood stoves out there. You can play some cards. There's four fishing holes in there. I've got one of those fish finder, fish TV cameras that goes down there and can look under the ice and you can watch it. I don't know. I like the ice fishing.
Al, what's your recommendation?
The feds have those, too.
To add to the ice fishing, if you don't have ice fishing equipment, you can get rods and lure and simple things over at the Department of Fish and Game. They'll give them to you. You'll sign, but it won't cost you anything. You can borrow them.
Yeah.
And
take a kid fishing.
People have been talking about wolf hunting because it's been kind of warm and the daylight will start picking up here now. So, head up to the Steese Highway. If the caribou are still around, it's very open up there. You have a very reasonable chance of seeing some wolves up there as long as the caribou are around and an opportunity to hunt them.
Well, I'm going to sort of combine two things. I'm going to grab Jen's auger and then steal Craig Compo's snow machine.
Stand up?
Right on the river. And then I'm going to go down the Chena River. Then I'm going to go up the Tanana River about 2-3 miles and try some burbot fishing. Fairbanks, that is our show today. Everyone, thank you very much for being here. Laundry House Gang, you're wonderful. And Fairbanks, I will see you tomorrow.
Thanks for having us.
Yep.